certainly enjoyed his presentations this morning. And what a beautiful picture of the Lord as our good shepherd. That speaks of his love, that speaks of his care, speaks of his guidance. There's so many pictures of Jesus in the Bible, but the one of the good shepherd is especially precious to us for so many reasons.
I know.
The Bible tells us in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it says, we're like sheep. And it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says that every one of us as sheep have gone astray. Another translation says that we've left God's path to follow our own. Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to find his lost sheep and to get them back on God's path. And he found them in the most strange places. I was reading a story where Jesus found one of his sheep in a tree. Can you imagine a sheep in a tree? How'd he get up there? Well, that was Zacchaeus. He climbed on a tree, up a tree, out on a limb, so that he could see Jesus. He found a sheep by a well. Who was that? The Samaritan woman. She was there by the well, but Jesus found that lost sheep there, and he spoke to her wonderful words of life, and she became his follower. He found some sheep in a boat. Can you think of anyone he found in a boat? Fishing? Peter? James? John? Maybe Andrew? There were a number of fishermen that Jesus called while they were cleaning their nets or fixing their nets. That's a strange place to find a sheep in a boat. Who do you find at a desk? Keeping the books. Yes, very good. Matthew the tax collector. Matthew the publican. There he was, figuring out how he could cheat and make the most money. And Jesus found him right there. Praise God. I kept going. I found a sheep on a roof. Well, they lowered him through the roof eventually, but he started there. And that was a paralyzed man. His friends brought him up to the roof. And they wanted to get him in front of Jesus, and Jesus was preaching in the house, so they broke up the roof, made a big hole right where Jesus would be standing, right above, and they lowered this man in this cot right down in front of Jesus. I love to picture these stories and pretend that I'm there. Imagine, where Jesus is preaching, and all of a sudden, they hear noise above them, and dust is starting to fall down, and then they see little fingers coming through the roof and pulling the tiles and boards back. And then, lo and behold, they lower this man down right in front of Jesus. Talk about being interrupted in the midst of your sermon, right? But Jesus welcomed them. There's a sheep that Jesus found lying on the ground. I think of the woman who was caught in adultery, and they cast her on the ground before Jesus at his feet. He wanted Jesus to condemn her. But Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. And then there's one other that I think of, and that was a sheep that Jesus found at nighttime in the dark, wandering in the dark. Now, who is that? Anybody? Nick at night, yes. Nicodemus. He was a religious leader. He came to Jesus at nighttime, and he talked to him, and it was to him that Jesus spoke about being born again, and so on. In that chapter we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so I'm not really talking about sheep like me, but I'm talking about people. people that were lost, people that were in great need. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he went everywhere to gather his lost sheep. And he knew where to find them. You know, he knows where to find you too. Wherever you are. I don't mean in a tree or on a roof. But you know, Jesus knows where to find you in your fear, in your confusion, in your loneliness, in your darkness. Jesus, he can reach you right where you are. He understands you, and he wants to minister to you and bring you to himself. There's a beautiful painting of Jesus. Maybe you've seen it. It's called the Parable of the Lost Sheep. It was painted by a man named Alfred Usher Sword, S-O-O-R-D. I looked that up this morning. I remembered that painting. And here Jesus is hanging, the shepherd is hanging over a cliff, right? And there's this sheep that had evidently fallen off the cliff, and now it's kind of tangled in the thorns. And in the background, I never noticed, but there's like a vulture in the background just waiting to eat that sheep. I was reading something about the painting, and it said that, if you look carefully at the painting, the shepherd doesn't really have very good footing, and he's leaning over, and he's really risking his life to get hold of that sheep somehow, and the sheep is looking up at the shepherd, just desperate for help. That sheep knows that it's a goner unless the shepherd rescues him or her. I love that picture. I love what it tells us about Jesus. You know, we, in its one sense, were more important to Jesus than his own life. He was willing to give up his own life in order to rescue you and to rescue me. And that's exactly what he did when he died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. He gave up his own life so that we could have life. So that we could belong to him, come back into his fold, and be with him forever. Praise God. In Luke chapter 15, there are three lost things, and I'm not going to spend too much time in that chapter, but it's hard to talk about the Good Shepherd without thinking about Luke chapter 15, where Jesus told these three stories. He told a story about a lost sheep, he told a story about a lost coin, and he told the story about a lost son. I never lost a sheep because I never owned a sheep. But I've lost coins. I guess all of us have. And thank God I have not lost a son. But Jesus told the story. He said that there was a man that had a shepherd that had 100 sheep. And when he counted them, he found out that one of them was missing. You heard that story yet here at camp? And so Jesus, or the good shepherd, he went out looking for that lost sheep. He made sure the other ones were safe in their sheep pen. And then he went looking and looking. And that's where that painting comes in. It doesn't tell us exactly where he found that sheep, but he eventually did find the sheep, and he put the sheep on his shoulders, and he carried the sheep back home. And then he told his friends, "Rejoice with me. My sheep that was lost is found." And he was so happy that sheep had found its way back. And then the Bible tells us that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents more than 99 people that don't think they need to repent. You know what it means to repent? Repenting means that you recognize that you've sinned, that you've displeased God, that you're a sinner. And then you ask the Lord to forgive you and help you to turn away from your sin and stop doing those things and begin to pursue the things that are right and wholesome and pleasing to God. I was talking to a friend of mine recently about repentance. Sometimes we do bad things and we don't feel too bad about it, but we know it's wrong. And so we should pray, "Lord, help me to realize that what I've done is wrong and to be sorry about that. But even before we feel sorry about it, we still need to do something about it. And that's what repentance is. It's I'm going to turn away from that thing because I know it does not please God. And I'm going to follow in the way that Jesus wants me to go. Lord, forgive me. Lord, give me the power to turn and to seek you now. And as you do that, you'll find that God will begin to make you to hate the sin that you were committing and love to do the things that please him. But don't wait until you hate the sin. Turn to Jesus. Turn away from it and let God work that change in your heart. And so the Bible says that heaven rejoices when they find somebody that turns away from their sin and follows Jesus and serves him. I guess all the angels in heaven rejoice. And maybe all the people that died and had gone to heaven, they're happy about that too. They know that that person now is going to join them one day around the throne of God. And so that good shepherd that went after the sheep, of course, that reminds us of Jesus, the good shepherd. But then Jesus also told a story about a woman who had 10 coins, maybe gold coins or silver coins, and she lost one. Well, she had 9 more, so what's the big deal? You feel that way when you lose some money? Well, I got some more. No, you're not satisfied until you find that coin, right? So she started cleaning the house. And, when you lose something, you start looking at places you haven't looked for in a long time. And she looked under the chairs and under the tables. And she got a candle, and she looked under the bed, in all those dark places. She needed the light of the candle to help her to find that coin. And maybe she got down low, and the light of the candle reflected off the coin. She saw something shiny under there. She reached in and pulled out a sock. That wasn't it. Then she reached in some more and pulled out a dust bunny. That wasn't it, but eventually she got the coin. And she was so happy she called her friends and she said, I found my coin that was missing. Oh, be happy with me. And so they were all so happy that she had her coin restored. And then the third story is where Jesus talks about a lost son. Now, there was this young man, he and his brother, who worked for their father, their rich father. And the younger son, he didn't like working for his father. He wanted to get out, wanted to go see what the world was all about. And so he said, Dad, I know when you die, you're going to leave us some money. So do you mind giving me that money now before you die? And so the father considered that. And so he said, yes, okay, I'll do that for you. He gave him some money that he would have inherited. And then it said, as soon as the son got the money, he packed up his bags, and he went away into a far country, and then he spent all his money on riotous living, the Bible says. He just tried to enjoy every pleasure he could, everything that he was taught was wrong. He wanted to try out for himself. And eventually he ran out of money. And when he ran out of money, then he ran out of friends. When I was in high school, I had a car. Got my license, and I brought my car to school. And when I went to school with my car, I had so many friends. They wanted to go on break. They wanted to go to 7-Eleven with me and to go to Carvel with me. They were coming. People I hardly even knew became my friend. And when my car broke down, all my friends were gone. That's what happened with this young man. He treated his friends. He bought them all the things that they enjoyed, but when the money ran out, then they didn't want to be around him anymore. And then they just left him to himself. And then the Bible says there was a famine, that it stopped raining, and it was hard to find food, and it was hard to find a job. The economy was going down. And so he actually found a job feeding pigs. And that wasn't a pleasant job, I'm sure. One time I was in Pennsylvania, and my wife thought it would be really nice if we spent the night on a farm. I thought it'd be really nice if we spent the night in a motel with a jacuzzi. But she wanted to be in a farm, so we tried it. And then we slept in this farmhouse, and then we had breakfast with some people we didn't know, but a real farmer's breakfast. And then they said, you know, we'd like to take you down to see the cows and the pigs. So hop in the back of the wagon, and so like a hayride. You know how I knew we were getting close to the pigs? Oh, man. I knew we were, with my eyes closed, I knew we were getting close to the pigs. And it really was a lovely little ending to a nice night on the farm.
Very educational.
Very educational. That's right. Homeschooling the kids, I guess. But imagine feeding the pigs. And he said that he became so hungry that even the food that the pigs were eating looked good to him. You gotta really be hungry to want to eat pig food. And then he said, what am I doing here? I've got a father. He's such a good man, and he takes such good care of his servants. What am I doing here? Starving to death. I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to ask him to forgive me. I'm going to say, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. I don't even deserve to be called your son anymore. I don't expect you to give me my old room back, but just, can I work for you at least? I know that if you give me a job, then at least I'll have enough money to eat, and I'll have a roof over my head and a warm bed to sleep in, The Bible says that when the father saw the son coming, he was looking out down the road, and he saw some image coming up the road, and he knew that was his son. And it says that the father ran out to meet him. And when he saw his son said, Father, and the father wouldn't even let him finish his speech. He grabbed him, he embraced him, he wept, and he restored him. He told the servants, get his robe, get his shoes, put a ring on his finger. And he said, my son was lost, but now he's found. I thought he was dead, but he's alive again. And he brought him back home, and he restored him to sonship. Well, of course, the Good Shepherd represents Jesus. The candle, I think that represents the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the Father is God the Father. God sent his Son into the world. Jesus came into the world and died for our sins. And the Holy Spirit makes us to see that we need to give our lives to Christ and to turn away from our sin and to put our trust in Him. The Father sent His Son. Jesus came and died for our sins. And the Holy Spirit draws us to the Savior. And so Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all very involved in our salvation. Now we're going to turn to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to get on that tree and have a little talk with Zacchaeus for a while. Praise God. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus entered and passed through the city of Jericho. And it says there that, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He was the chief tax collector. Publican is a tax collector. Now, the tax collectors worked for the Roman government, the government that was oppressing the Jewish people. These were Jewish people working for the Roman government to exact taxes from their own people. So they were considered traitors. Their fellow Jews hated them. What are you working for the Romans for? They were working for the bullies. And people didn't like them. And so they didn't have many friends. The only friends they had were other tax collectors, I guess. Birds of a feather flock together. And it says, he sought to see Jesus. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming to town, and he wanted to see him. I wonder how he heard. I have a book at home called Christ in the Fine Arts, and it has a little, essay or something of that sort, where there's a tax collector that met Jesus, and he wrote a letter to Zacchaeus, and said, Zacchaeus, Jesus is coming to your town. You make sure you meet him. Don't let him pass through Jericho without you meeting him. He'll change your life. Well, we don't know if he actually got that letter, but there was something that made Zacchaeus want to see Jesus and made him want to see him so bad that he was willing to climb up in a tree so he could see over the crowd as Jesus was passing by. Jesus was walking, people were surrounding him, his disciples and other people that were drawn to him. Maybe there were sick people that came to be healed and others that just wanted to hear what he had to say. And so Zacchaeus, it says, he was a short man. He couldn't see over the crowd. So he got a good idea. I'll climb a tree. And then I can look down and see Jesus. He imagined nobody was noticing him there because all their attention was on Christ. But as he was passing by that sycamore tree, it says Jesus looked up, verse 5, and he saw Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. I have to eat at your house today. I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus was thrilled that Jesus stopped and invited himself to his house. Why would Jesus want to come into his house? Well, he quickly came down the tree and he went and got his servants together, and I'm sure they prepared a meal for Jesus, and he invited some of his other tax collector friends. And while Jesus was in the house with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus stood up. And he said unto the Lord, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him four times. He said, Lord, I know that I've taken advantage of people. I took more money from them than I was supposed to, and I made myself rich with that money. But Lord, from now on, I'm going to try to make things right. I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor people. And then where I have wronged others, I'm going to give them back four times whatever I took from them. I'm through with this life. I don't want to be a tax collector anymore. I don't want to take advantage of others. I'm not interested in riches and comforts. I found something better. I found a relationship with you that is much more satisfying than the life that I've been living. You know, somewhere along the way, Zacchaeus got interested in money, making money, and the things that he could buy with money, and the things that he could do with his money. And that became more important to him than pleasing God and caring for others. He just began to just think about himself and what he wanted. And he gave himself over to that lifestyle, and he found others that lived that way too. But after a while, he realized that didn't satisfy him. Making money and enjoying sinful pleasures always just left him feeling empty. And the people that he hung around with, they were just as bad as he was. He couldn't trust them. They weren't real friends. They were just as empty and lost as he was. And somewhere along the way, he came to that conclusion. And he said, there's got to be something better. You know, the other day, down in Watch Rock, I was talking about a man named Obadiah and how he was serving God in the midst of a very wicked environment. He was the servant of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, very evil, wicked people. And yet God had him there, and he was living for God right there in that court. And I said, you know, sometimes God puts you in places where you feel like you're the only one serving God. You see things differently than everybody else sees it. But you know, God has you there for a reason. Because somebody needs to see that I don't have to be like everybody else. That I can be different. That person's different. Maybe I can find out what made them different, and I can
have that too.
You know, once a person meets a Christian that's really living for God, well then, they have no excuse to keep living in their sin. But they see that God can make a change in people's lives, and maybe you're the one that points them in that direction. And so Zacchaeus, he looked around at his friends. They were no help to him. They were just as messed up as he was. Fighting for money, they never got enough. They always wanted more. They cheated one another, I'm sure. But then he heard about this man, Jesus, who was different than anyone that he had ever met before. And when he saw him, when he heard his teaching, he could see that there was something pure and holy and attractive about his life. And he got such he was so attracted to Jesus that he didn't want to live the way he lived anymore. But there was hope for him. Hope that he could change. Hope that he could be different. He found out that money and earthly things don't satisfy. It can't fill that empty place in my heart. Only Jesus can fill that. And so, we don't know everything that Jesus said to him there in the house, but we know that he made such an impression that Zacchaeus, right from that moment, decided to change his life, to repent, to turn around and to serve the Lord. And so, he told that to Jesus, and Jesus said, "This day, salvation has come to this house." And then he went on to say, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." This is the whole reason I've come into the world, for people like Zacchaeus. I've come to find out where they are, and then I've come to forgive them and save them and bring them into my fold, like the good shepherd that goes on after the lost sheep. Now that's what Jesus is wanting to do for you here at Pilgrim Camp. He brought you here because he knows what's going on in your life. He knows your disappointments. He knows your fears. He knows your sorrows. He knows your doubts. And he wants to meet you right where you are. You'll find that as you listen to the teaching, as you sing the songs, as you worship the Lord, God is going to speak right to you. Has that happened to you yet? Has anybody noticed that God has been talking to them through the teachers and through the songs and so on? I've noticed that since I've been here. People have testified. We've sung some songs. And it seems as though the Lord is talking right to me. Well, when the Lord does that, listen to that voice. Listen to what God is saying. Get hold of what he's trying to show you. Because God is here to give you help. God knows your home life. He knows the struggles that go on in the house, among the family. He knows what's happening in school, when you were in school and as you look forward to going back to school again. He knows the sorrows that you've experienced in your life. He knows the hurts that you feel. And Jesus wants to come into those areas of your life, and he wants to bring healing, and he wants to fill you with his love, and he wants to make you to realize how precious you are to him. You're his lost sheep, and he'll do anything, and he has done everything necessary to bring you back home. And so Zacchaeus was a changed man that day. I wish we knew the rest of the story of Zacchaeus. You know, there was a man named Paul Harvey, and he always used to talk about the rest of the story, and he'd give you extra details that, you know. There's a lot of stories. I'd like to know the rest of the story. I'd like to know what happened to that rich young ruler that came to Jesus. It says that he went away sorrowful because he couldn't let go of his riches. I wonder if he ever did. I wonder if he ever finally said, "Forget about these riches. I'll never be happy now that I know that there's a man named Jesus that has told me to come and follow him." And there's other stories in the Bible. I'd like to know the rest. Well, I guess when we get to heaven, we'll find out. Imagine that. We'll be able to talk to Zacchaeus. We'll be able to talk to the rich young ruler, I hope, if he's there, and many others like him. But you know, God's not done with you either. Oh, God has begun something. He's doing something precious. And there's more to that story that the Lord is going to work out in your life as you continue to follow Him. And so everyone wants to belong. Everyone wants to feel valued and loved. Some people, I know in my neighborhood, some kids join gangs because they want to feel like they belong somewhere. They don't feel that love at home. And so they find some guys that say, well, if you join us, you can be part of our gang. And if you do what we tell you to do, you can hang out with us, and we'll take care of each other. And they get drawn into that. And you know, it looks good when they start, but there's always a great price to pay. And they follow these people, and these people lead them down a path that brings more heartache and ruin into their life than they had before. I'm involved in a school, and I see kids walking in the hallway, and you know, if you're there often enough, you see that some kids are natural born leaders. They got people following them, doing whatever they say. But the problem is that they're leading these kids down a bad path. And they're dragging them down with them. I try to talk to them sometimes. I say, you know, you're a leader. But you're leading people in the wrong direction. You need to get right on the right path so you can lead others in the way that they need to live and walk. If you're going to follow anybody, make sure you follow Jesus first of all. And then God will bring other people into your life that you can follow. People that love Him. People that want what's best for you. People that will help you to make right choices and will trust God to work out His perfect plan in your life. God has people like that. Your counselors here at camp, why are they here? Why did they come up to camp and work so hard to take care of you guys and to teach you girls and guys about Jesus? Well, God has put a love in their hearts for you. That's why they get up at 6:30 in the morning and they have prayer meeting when you're still sleeping. And they pray that God will bless you and God will encourage you and God will fill you with His Spirit and so on. And so there are people like that. There are people in your church. Sunday school teachers and others that love you. God has sent them into your life. And God wants to use them to help guide you. And you should take advantage of that. You know, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. But He has under shepherds, pastors and teachers. When I was in Bible school, I had a pastor. And he said, in my office, I have a painting of a shepherd. He's standing out there in the field. He's got his shepherd's crook, you know, that means the hook, the cane that has a hook at the end of it. And the field, there's a bunch of sheep in the field. And there's a sheepyard next to the shepherd. And he said, when I look at that, you know, I'm the pastor of this church, and when I look at that, that picture reminds me that the people in my church are the sheep, and I'm the sheepdog. I was a little surprised. I thought he was going to say he's the shepherd. He said, no. He said, there's only one shepherd. That's Jesus. But I'm the sheepdog. Jesus tells me what to do, and then I tell the people. That's what the sheepdog does. When the sheep are going astray, the dog goes and barks and bites at their feet and gets them back together. And the shepherd says, go after that one. And the dog goes, arr, arr. Well, I try not to nip at my people's feet. But it helps me to keep things in perspective. I'm not the shepherd. I'm the sheepdog. Jesus is the shepherd. I get my orders from Him. And then I pass them on to you. The Lord has a lot of sheepdogs that get their orders from Him, and then they pass them on to you. And if we're wise, we'll take heed to their advice, and we'll do what they say, will look at their lives and say, wow, they seem to really know Jesus. They seem to be happy. Their life seems to be together. And well, maybe they know something I don't know. And, you know, I notice that young people, when they want to feel independent, they get this impression that to be grown up means not to let anybody tell you what to do. Right? Oh, I know. You try to talk to a young person and tell them what to do. Oh, no, that's okay. I know. I know how to do it. And that makes them feel grown up. But I am a grown up. And I need people to tell me what to do. When you really mature and grow up, you realize you don't know. And you can learn a lot if you're willing to. And so when I see a young person that's willing to take instruction, and then I see a young person that says, I know it, you know, you don't have to tell me, you don't have to help me. Well, which one do you think I think is more mature? It's the one that's willing to learn. That's the one that's going to get somewhere. And the one that knows everything, not going to get very far. And it's that way with God, too. That's why we have to say, oh, Jesus. You know, I'm a sheep that's went astray. I don't know how to live this life. I don't know what paths to take. I need a shepherd to guide me. And Lord, I need some sheepdogs to help me stay on the path. And so, Lord, help me to be a good follower. Teach me how to stay close to my shepherd. Because the sheep that stay the closest to the shepherd are the ones that are the safest. Those are the ones that are best fed and the best taken care of. The sheep that go astray are the ones that get themselves into trouble. And so, you know, it's an amazing thing. There's room next to Jesus for every one of us. And so we want to do that today and in these days. We want to get as close to our shepherd as we possibly can. So we can pray, oh Jesus, gentle shepherd, come and lead me. I need you to help me find my way. Gentle shepherd, come and feed me, because I need your strength from day to day. There's no other I can turn to than, I forget the words now. Help me face another day. Gentle shepherd, come and lead me, for I need you. Help me find my way. Amen. Praise God. You want to sing the song, Surely Goodness and Mercy Will Follow Me All the Days of My Life. I want to remind all of our guests, our parents, that after we sing, the young people will get ready, get to their cabins or wherever they're assigned to be, and we'll have opportunity to visit with them. And remember that we're having lunch at 12:30, so make sure that we're down in the palace and we can begin together. Okay. Surely goodness and mercy.
378.
Thank you. 378. Let's stand together then as we sing this last song.
All the days of my life.
words.
Brother Tom, Andrea, can you pray with us, please, brother?
Father, we want to thank you for your loving care over our lives, always watching, always seeing, always helping, always loving. Lord, we pray that we might learn to appreciate this great salvation that you've given to us. Keep us in under your precious blood, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Remember, not your father.